ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। वेलकम टू अवर भागवत प्रवाह ऑनलाइन सेशंस ऑन द 10th कैंटो ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम। In the previous episode, we have discussed the Damodar Leela and also how Krishna killed Bakasur and Vatsasur. In today's episode, we will discuss how Krishna liberated Aghasur and also we will discuss the Brahma Vimohana Leela. In the 12th chapter of the 10th canto, Sukadeva Goswami describes how Krishna liberated Aghasur. One day, Krishna wanted to have his breakfast with his friends as a picnic in the forest. Generally, all the gopas take their breakfast and take their calves and take them to the forest. But on this day, Krishna wanted to have breakfast as a picnic in the forest along with his friends. So early in the morning, Krishna got up and all his friends also packed their breakfast given by their mothers, and they kept their calves in front and they all proceeded to the forest. And in the forest, all the children would play with Krishna. So they would have so many games. In the forest, they would collect some flowers and tender leaves and decorate themselves, and sometimes they decorate Krishna also. Their mothers have already decorated them so nicely with proper dresses and ornaments and flowers and nice turbans. But the gopas would decorate themselves in the forest again. They would take minerals and colors and then put on themselves, and they decorate each other, and they also play so many games. They imitate birds, they sing, they dance, and Krishna would sometimes imitate the peacocks, and Krishna would dance like peacocks, and Krishna would say that, see, this peacock does not know how to dance, so I am dancing properly. So Krishna would say like that, and Balramji would dance, Krishna would dance, and all the other gopas would play musical instruments, and sometimes they would imitate the movements of frogs, they would sit like ducks, they would imitate the behavior of monkeys, and they would scratch the monkeys on the trees, and they would jump like frogs, they would sit like swans. So in this way, the gopas are enjoying so nicely in the forest, and they would swing on swings, they would play some musical instruments, they would play buffalo horns like this. So all these gopas are extremely fortunate people. So they got this rare opportunity to play with God. So people worship God, people pray to God, but these gopas are playing with God. So their fortune is so great, and Sukadeva Goswami describes that in the 11th shloka like this. Ittham satam brahma sukhanubhutya dasyam gatanam paradaivatena मायाश्रितानां नरदारकेण शाकं विजह्रः कृत पुण्य पुञ्जाः इत्थं सतां ब्रह्मसुखानुभूत्य। देर आर सम ग्रेट डिवोटीज, ग्रेट स्पिरिचुअल सीकर्स, दे आर एस्पायरिंग फॉर ब्रह्मसुख, दे वांट टू मर्ज इन टू द एफल्जेंस ऑफ द लॉर्ड, दे आर एस्पिरेंट्स ऑफ ब्रह्मन, सो दे वर्शिप द लॉर्ड इन दैट वे। इत्थं सतां ब्रह्मसुखानुभूत्य दास्यं गतानां परदैवतेन, those people who want to render service to the Lord as servants, they consider Krishna as paradaiva, as the supremely worshipable deity. Mayashritanam naradarakena, but materialistic people who have taken shelter of maya, they consider Krishna as an ordinary child. Some people consider Krishna to be Brahman, and some people consider Krishna to be worshipable deity, some people consider Krishna as ordinary child, but these gopas are considering Krishna to be their friend. Shakam vijahruh kratapunya punjaha, they have done heaps of pious activities, they have done heaps of activities that are pleasing to the Supreme Lord Krishna. That's why these gopas received an opportunity to play with Krishna in the forest. So they would jump like monkeys, they would fly like birds, and they would sit like ducks and swans, and they would jump like frogs. So in this in the next shloka Sukadev Goswami says yat pada pamsur bahujanma krichrato dhritatma bhiryogi virapya labhyah sa eva yadrig vishayah svayam sthitah kim varnyate dishtamato prajaukasam. Even great yogis also can only taste the dust from the lotus feet of Krishna after thousands of years of meditation. And here the Vrajavasis, the Gopas, they were having an opportunity to play with Krishna. What great fortune they have. And their fortune and their glory knows no bounds. So in this way Sukadeva Goswami glorifies all the Gopas, the Sakya Bhaktas. So Krishna performed three categories of pastimes. They are Vatsalya pastimes, Sakya pastimes and Madhurya pastimes. In the previous episodes, we have seen the activities of baby Krishna, where the Vatsalya gopis had spent a lot of time with baby Krishna. They are called Angana Darshaniya Leelas. Means the pastimes of Krishna, where Krishna was stealing butter and crawling and being bound by Mother Yashoda. These are all Vatsalya pastimes. They are more accessible to the mothers. Now that Krishna is little grown up, Krishna began his Sakya pastimes. He would go to the forest along with his cowherd boy friends and the calves, and he would play with the calves throughout the day. And at the end of the day, he will come back to his village. So all these are Sakya pastimes. Now Krishna, generally the first 5 years of a child's age is called Kaumara age or Balya age. So that is for first 5 years. And the next 5 years is called Pauganda age. And the next 5 years means 10 to 15. It's called Kaishora age. Beyond 15 is Yavana. But Krishna is very special that he will complete his Kaumara pastimes in 3 years, 4 months only. And in the next 3 years, 4 months, means by the time Krishna reaches 6 years, 8 months of age, he completes his Pauganda pastimes. And when Krishna reaches 10 years, then he would complete his Kaishora pastimes and he is ready for Yavana. An ordinary child, ordinary boy, would take 15 years to come to Yavana age, but Krishna would come to Yavana age within 10 years only. Means, when Krishna is 3 years, 4 months old, he is like a 5-year-old boy. His intellectual growth, his physical growth is like a 5-year-old boy. When Krishna becomes 6 years, 8 months old, he would look like a 10-year-old boy. When Krishna is 10 years old, he looks like a 15-year-old boy. And his activities and his development of body and his thought process and intelligence is also like a 15-year-old boy. So in this way Krishna grew, and now Krishna began his Pauganda pastimes. Now one day, on this day, Krishna was spending time in the forest along with the Gopas and the calves. And suddenly the Gopas have seen a huge cave, and that cave is actually Aghasur. So Aghasur was a snake demon who was the brother, younger brother of Bakasura and Putana. So Aghasur came to Gokul and he wanted to take revenge for the death of his siblings. So Krishna has killed my sister Putana and he has killed my brother Bakasur. Now I have to kill Krishna. I will kill not only Krishna, I will kill all his friends also and all his calves also. And if Krishna's Gopas and calves are killed, their parents would die. Thus entire Vrindavan cowherd community will die. So Aghasur came with a malicious intent to kill entire Vrindavan community. Most of the demons who came to Vrindavan, they attacked Krishna, they wanted to kill Krishna only. But Aghasur came to kill all the Vrajavasis. First he wanted to kill the small children, and thus their parents also will die. He came with such a plan. And Aghasur came in the form of a big python, and he opened his mouth very, very wide, and his mouth was like a huge cave, and his body was almost touching the clouds, and lot of foul smell was coming from his mouth also. So these gopas have seen Aghasur's mouth. They thought that it is a mountain cave. We never saw this mountain cave here. Maybe new cave manifested here. all the gopas became very curious to explore this new playground. And some people even suspected, is it a python? Or is it some mystic demoniac plan to capture us? So some gopas even suspected that. But immediately the gopas thought that if it is a rakshasa, if it is really a snake, Krishna is there to protect us. Just as Krishna killed Bakasur, Krishna can kill this demon also, whoever it may be. So let us go and explore this new mountain cave. It's like a very huge playground. So Aghasur just spread his tongue like a roadway, like a pathway. And all the gopas wanted to enter Aghasur's mouth, thinking that it is a mountain cave. So they all came and the calves also came along with them. They all entered this Aghasur's mouth. Then Krishna wanted to stop these gopas, but by the time they already entered, so Krishna could not stop. Krishna wondered at his own potency, at his own maya. How even my friends are also bewildered by this snake demon's mouth. And Krishna wanted to enter the mouth of Aghasur. So Aghasur already had all these gopas and calves enter its mouth, who thought that it's a cave. But Aghasur did not swallow them immediately. Aghasur did not cause any harm to them immediately. He waited for Krishna also to enter. So Aghasur actually felt envious when he saw Krishna and all the gopas playing like this. Krishna and the gopas were playing so happily, and Aghasur felt so jealous, so envious of this. You know, Aghasur wanted to swallow all of them, but he waited for Krishna to enter. So Krishna entered Aghasur's mouth. So when Krishna entered Aghasur's mouth, all the demigods who were watching this whole pastime from the upper planetary systems, they became very concerned. They became worried. Oh, Krishna entered Aghasur's mouth. Now what's going to happen? So after entering Aghasur's mouth, Krishna expanded his size. So all the gopas who entered the body of Aghasur, they became unconscious. They became lifeless because of the poisonous ambience inside Aghasur's body. So these innocent people just entered and they became lifeless, and Krishna entered there. Nobody was watching him. So Krishna expanded his size, and Aghasur also expanded his size. When Aghasur expanded his size, Krishna expanded his size even more. Krishna never expanded his size while he is killing Trinavarta or Putana or Sakatasur. Krishna remained like a small child. But now Krishna manifested a huge form here. He expanded himself just to prove that although he is playing the role of a small child in Vrindavan, he still has all the powers of Bhagavan, of the Supreme Lord. So Krishna manifested this, but he did not want to manifest this huge form in front of the gopas. Now the gopas are unconscious, Krishna could do it. So Krishna expanded his size. But Aghasur could not expand his size more. So when Krishna was expanding his size, Aghasur's body just cracked open, and his Krishna just came out of Aghasur's body. And Krishna later glanced on all these lifeless, unconscious, dead gopas and calves and brought them back to life. And Aghasur died because his whole body got choked, his life force got choked, and he could not maintain his life anymore when Krishna expanded his size within his body. And Aghasur was so fortunate that Krishna entered the body of Aghasur, and Krishna purified Aghasur, just as Krishna purified Putana earlier. So Krishna came out, and Aghasur's soul came out of its body and stayed in the sky for some time. And when Krishna came out of Aghasur's body, that Aghasur's soul entered Krishna's body. So this indicates that Aghasur attained Sarupya Mukti. So Aghasur was liberated. Although Aghasur came with a malicious intention to kill Krishna and to kill all the gopas, all the calves, and in this way to kill entire cowherd community, still Krishna is kind enough to give liberation to Aghasur. Because in Vrindavan, Krishna is especially very merciful, even to demons also. So Aghasur was liberated, and in fact Aghasur gave some pleasure to Krishna and the gopas. Because as soon as the Gopas saw Ghasur's body, they thought that it's the playground. It's a mountain cave. Let us go and explore this. Out of curiosity, they went to sport in Aghasur's body. Because Aghasur happened to give such sporting pleasure to Krishna and the Gopas, Krishna gave Aghasur liberation. Just as Krishna gave liberation to Putana, so Putana came with a malicious intention to kill Krishna, but Krishna gave her liberation because she came in the form of a mother and gave milk to Krishna. So Krishna reciprocated with that little good in Putana. Similarly, Krishna gave some mercy to Aghasur also, because there is some little good in Aghasur's activities also. And even Acharya say that Aghasur felt, Aghasur thought of Krishna with little devotion for a moment. So Aghasur was attracted to what Krishna and all the Gopas were doing. They were playing, they were so happy. But he became envious also, he wanted to kill them also. But Krishna took that little good in Aghasur and gave liberation. This is the mercy of Krishna. Kamva dayalum sharanam rajema. Who else can be so kind than Krishna? So, then that completes the 12th chapter, the liberation of Aghasur. And Sukadeva Goswami narrated this whole story to Parikshit Maharaj. And he told that the killing of Aghasur has been reported by all these Gopas to their parents after one full year. Then Parikshit Maharaj immediately asked, why there was 1 year delay? Why they had to delay so much? Why they did not tell immediately? Generally, whenever Krishna kills some demon or performs some miraculous activity in the forest, on the very day, on that same day, the Gopas would come and inform that to their parents. But why there is 1 year gap? Then, appreciating the inquisitiveness of Parikshit Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami started answering in the 13th chapter. So Sukadeva Goswami says, Sadhu Prishtam Mahabhaga Tvaya Bhagavatottama Yannotanayasi Shasya Shrinvan Apikatham Muhu. Sadhu Prishtam Mahabhaga, oh greatly fortunate Parikshit Maharaj, you have inquired so nicely. Because you are hearing Krishna Katha with great attention and great enthusiasm and eagerness and love and devotion, all the pastimes of Krishna are appearing very newer to you. You are hearing them as if you are hearing them for the first time. And that is the nature of Krishna's pastimes. Although somebody repeatedly hears Krishna's pastimes or speaks Krishna's pastimes, one will feel a fresh enthusiasm in oneself. That's the nature of Krishna Katha. It's so nectarian. So, then Sukadeva Goswami says, Satam ayam sarabhartam nisargo yadarthavani shruti cheta samapi pratikshanam navyavadachyutasya yat striya vitanam ivasadhu vartam. So Sukadeva Goswami further appreciates the whole process of hearing Krishna Katha, and he appreciates Parikshit Maharaj. Satamayam sarabhratam nisargo. People who are essence seeking. Sarabhrata means people who seek essence. They don't want any extra details, or they don't want to get distracted or deviated or diverted by so many materialistic things. They focus on the essential topics of Krishna Katha. Harehe kathameva kathasu saram. So even Vidura also tells Maitreya, Harehe kathameva kathasu saram udhrutya pushpebhya ivarta bandho shivaya naha kirtaya tirtha kirtehe. Of all the topics, the most essential topic is Hari Katha, the narrations about Krishna. So, just like a bumblebee goes from one flower to another flower to accept the essence of the flower, which is honey. A honeybee is not attracted to all the details of the garden. A garden may have flowers and fruits and trees and plants and leaves and pathways and sitting places and gazebos. But the honeybee is focused only on the honey within a flower. Similarly, in this world, there could be hundreds and thousands of topics, but a pure devotee is focused only on hearing Krishna's topics, on the Supreme Lord's topics and his incarnation and his devotees. So, sarabhratam nisargo yadartha vani shruti cheta samapi. They are very purposeful and they cause great jubilation and happiness to one's ears and one's consciousness. Shruti cheta samapi pratikshanam navyavad achyutasyayat. By hearing Krishna's pastimes, Achyuta's pastimes, they appear newer and newer every moment. So, having appreciated Parikshit Maharaj's eagerness, Sukadeva Goswami began narration of Brahma Vimohana Leela. So, Krishna sat there. After killing Aghasur, Krishna sat to take his lunch along with all his friends. So, when Aghasur was killed, all the demigods in the upper planetary systems, they started celebrating the death of Aghasur. And when Aghasur was killed, the demigods were discussing about Krishna's miraculous activity of killing this big python demon in the upper planets, and that sound went to Brahma's planet also. Lord Brahma came to know, Brahma heard from all these devatas that Krishna, this cowherd boy in Gokul village, he has killed Aghasur. And Brahma wanted to check out, how can a small cowherd boy perform such miraculous activities? So he was coming. So Brahma came to this Vrindavan to see Krishna, to test Krishna. Although it is Brahma who requested Krishna to descend on this planet to protect earth from this burden of demoniac people, still when Krishna killed a demon, Brahma became surprised and he wanted to test Krishna only. So sometimes even great souls like Brahma also could get bewildered by the Lord's illusory energy. But that does not mean we disrespect them or we minimize their position. So we should never criticize or blaspheme Lord Brahma. He is a great devotee of the Supreme Lord. Sometimes by the will of the Lord only, even Brahma also could get bewildered momentarily. But later he will come back to consciousness. That we will see by the end of this episode. So Brahma wanted to test Krishna. At the time Krishna was taking his prasadam, his lunch with all the gopas. So Krishna proposed to all the gopas, "My dear friends, this bank of Yamuna is so nice. This has soft sand. Let our calves eat grasses nearby. We can see them. They are within our vicinity. And now we will sit here and then eat the food that is packed by our mothers." And all the gopas became very happy. So after killing Aghasur, Krishna sat there on the bank of Ganges, bank of Yamuna, and started eating food. And that scene is described by Sukadeva Goswami in the 8th shloka like this. Krishnasya vishvak pururaji mandalair abhyananaha fulladrisho vrajarbhakaha sahopa vishta vipine virejatu chadayathambo aruhakarnikayaha. Krishna sat in the middle of all the gopas. All the gopas were sitting in concentric circles. So they made so many circles. There are thousands of gopas. They are all friends of Krishna. They made concentric circles and Krishna sat right in the middle. Just imagine a lotus flower. So that has so many petals. So many petals, different layers of petals, thousands of petals. And in the middle, there is a yellow color whorl. That the middle portion, Krishna is like that, whorl of that flower. So Krishna is in the middle of so many concentric circles of gopas, and Krishnasya Vishwak Pururaji Mandalair Abhyananaha Fulla Drisho Vrajarbhakaha. All the gopas were so happy to have their lunch with Krishna. And every single gopa was feeling that Krishna is sitting right in front of him and eating food with him. So Krishna is in the center of the circle, and there are so many circles. There are some gopas on the right side of Krishna, on the left side of Krishna, in front of Krishna, behind Krishna, and several circles away from Krishna. But all these gopas were thinking, were feeling, were experiencing that Krishna is sitting right in front of them. So they would eat some food packed by their mothers. They think that, they feel that, oh, this is very good food. This is very tasty, Krishna. This is very tasty. My mother has packed this for me. So you also eat. Right from their mouths, they offer it to Krishna. If we have to offer something to Krishna, we have to chant mantras. We have to follow rules and regulations. But the gopas, they eat and they give their remnants to Krishna also. And Krishna is very happily eating it back. And even the demigods in the higher planets also, they are surprised. Krishna is Yajnabhuk. Krishna is accustomed to eating food that is offered as oblations in the sacrificial fire. And that Krishna is eating the remnants of his friends, cowherd boy friends. And they were astonished. And Brahma also came. And Brahma wanted to test Krishna. And these cowherd boys were eating, they were making their plates with flowers and leaves and fruits and stones and bunches of leaves and tree bark, and they made their plates from their baskets only. They were eating like this. So it's a very simple thing. Cowherd boys who were herding cows, herding calves, their lunch bags are so simple. And Krishna is associating with them. Krishna is spending his whole day with them. Krishna is eating with them. And Krishna is eating their remnants also. And this totally astonished the demigods and even Brahma also. So Brahma came there to see Krishna. And Brahma wanted to test Krishna. Let me test this boy. He has killed Aghasur? I can't believe. So let's test him. So when Krishna and all the gopas were taking their lunch, their calves, they were taking their grasses nearby. So they were allured by grasses. They went little ahead, little away from Krishna and the gopas. Then Brahmaji has stolen these calves. By his mystic potency, he made them disappear from there. Then the gopas realized, oh, our calves are missing. Krishna, our calves are missing. They became little anxious. And Krishna said, my dear friends, don't worry. So you don't worry. You just sit and have your meals. I will go and search for these calves. So all the gopas have kept Krishna in the center. They sat in concentric circles and they kept Krishna in the center. So the devotees or any community that keeps Krishna in the center will receive all protection and reciprocation and love from Krishna. And now the gopas are in anxiety. Krishna says that you don't worry, you just happily take your meals. I will go and search for the calves. So Krishna owns the anxieties of his devotees. When some devotee is dependent on Krishna, then Krishna will relieve that devotees from anxieties. So Krishna went. Krishna was taking curd rice at that time. So Krishna was holding curd rice and a pickle in his hands, between his fingers. And then although he was eating, he just got up from his eating. And then he went to search for the calves, holding this curd rice. So Krishna went. He searched everywhere. He could not find the calves. And he came back to the bank of Yamuna. And when he came back to the bank of Yamuna, he did not even find his friends also. Because Brahma has stolen calves and diverted Krishna. And when Krishna went to search for the calves, Brahma came back to the bank of Yamuna and he has stolen the boys also. He has stolen the gopas also. And to bewilder Brahma even more, Krishna started searching for the gopas. Where did my gopas go? Where did my gopas go? Like this. And Brahma was seeing this. Actually, Krishna is perfectly aware of Brahma's mischievous tendency now. So Brahma thought that he has a lot of mystic power and he can play with Krishna also. But Krishna is the supreme mystic and he is the source of all mystic powers of all other mystics also. So Krishna could understand what Brahma has done. Now Krishna has two responsibilities. Number one, he has to teach a lesson to Brahma, who is his son. Krishna in his form as Garbhodakasaya Vishnu, he gave birth to Brahma. A lotus sprouted from the navel of Garbhodakasaya Vishnu, and on that lotus Brahmaji has taken birth. So it's like Krishna is the father of Brahma. So Krishna has to rectify the mentality of Brahma now. Now there is another immediate responsibility for Krishna also. Because Brahma has stolen all the calves and all the cowherd boys, Krishna, now he has to go back to the village. How will he go without the boys and calves? So Krishna first has to pacify the mothers, the parents of all these boys and calves. Krishna has to pacify the cows and the mothers. So Krishna then expanded himself into all the gopas and all the calves. So Krishna exactly replicated all the forms of the gopas. So he imitated their mannerisms, their bodily complexion, their dress, their horns and their sticks and their calves and all the bodily features and their dresses and their flutes and their lunch bags and their ornaments. Everything he exactly replicated. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the source of everything. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mattah sarvam pravartate. Everything is emanating from Krishna. So Krishna expanded himself into all the gopas and exactly imitated their characteristics and their qualities and their speaking style, their walking style, their dressing style, and their lunch bags and everything. So Krishna, accompanied by his own expansions, the gopas and the calves, he came to the village, and all the gopas entered their houses, and all the calves entered their cowsheds and met their mothers. And all the mothers, all the mothers of Vrindavan and all the cows of Vrindavan felt so special, because it's not their child that has come to them. It is Krishna who has come to them in the form of their children. So all the gopas, all the gopis and the cows of Vrindavan, they felt a transcendental bliss in seeing their children that day. That's very special because it is Krishna only. Every living entity naturally loves Krishna, and now that Krishna has appeared in the form of all these gopas and calves, their mothers became very happy. Actually, all the gopis of Vrindavan, they were so appreciative of Mother Yashoda, because Mother Yashoda was feeding Krishna, was dressing Krishna, was bathing Krishna, was decorating Krishna, and she would make Krishna sleep, and he would perform all the services that mother does to her small child. And all the gopis, motherly gopis of Vrindavan, they saw Mother Yashoda, and they also desired to serve Krishna in that same manner. So they were so appreciative of Mother Yashoda. They felt that Mother Yashoda is so fortunate to be able to serve Krishna like this. So they also desired to serve Krishna in a similar manner. So Krishna noticed that desire. Now Krishna fulfilled that desire of all the gopis of Vrindavan and all the cows also. So the gopis, now they have an opportunity to serve Krishna just as Mother Yashoda was serving Krishna. When we are envious of another devotee for the devotee's opportunity to render a specific service to Krishna, Krishna may not allow us to do similar service. But when we have appreciation towards the devotee, Krishna will also give us an opportunity to render similar service like that devotee. So all the gopis were appreciating Mother Yashoda. They were not envious of Mother Yashoda. So now Krishna fulfilled the desire of all the gopis, and Krishna came back and he met his mother, and all the mothers received the expansions of Krishna. And Krishna exactly imitated the mannerisms of all these gopas and calves. And in this way, Krishna had spent one full year with the gopis and the cows. So in this 1 year, Krishna grew up a little bit. Whatever happens, Krishna was 5 years old, and then he became 6 years old now. So, and all the gopas also. So whatever bodily growth is manifested in a child when he is 5 years old, when he becomes 6 years old, Krishna manifested that growth in all the gopas also. Every day Krishna would take all these calves and all the gopas to the forest, and he will play with them. Basically, he is playing with his own expansions for one full year. And somehow, on the day when Brahma has stolen his stolen the gopas and the calves, Balaramji did not come. Now, throughout this 1 year, Balaramji came. And Balaramji did not notice any difference. But when there is just four or five more days left for the completion of 1 year, Balaramji noticed a very peculiar pattern. So one day, all the gopas, means younger gopas, they were tending the calves. And their fathers, they were tending the cows. So they came to Govardhan Hill. On top of Govardhan Hill, the cows were grazing. And below the Govardhan Hill, the calves were grazing and the boys were taking care. So the cows have seen the calves and they ran. They ran very enthusiastically and affectionately towards their calves, and they started licking the bodies of the calves, and they started feeding milk. And during this 1 year, the cows have given birth to some younger calves also. But the cows started giving milk to the older calves who are actually expansions of Krishna. So they started licking the bodies. And the elder gopas, they wanted to control these cows because they were running away. So they came running behind the cows and they saw their own children, the gopas. And they started embracing all the children, all their sons. And they started bathing these children with tears of affection, tears of love. And Balaramji has seen this unusual incident. You can see in the picture. So Balaramji saw this and then he told Krishna, Krishna, what is this? So what kind of illusion is there? So Krishna, I can see that all these elder gopas and even their wives, the gopis, they were showing so much of affection towards their children as if their children were you only. All the Vrajavasis love you more than their own children, more than their own selves. So Krishna is the dearmost object of every single Vrajavasi. So Balaramji said that, Balaramji, Krishna, are they your expansions? So Balaramji just asked Krishna like this. Then Krishna told Balaram whatever has happened 1 year back because of Brahma's mischief. So Brahma understood that he was playing with Krishna. So Brahma, after he has stolen the cows and the calves, calves and the boys, he came back within a moment. But his one moment is 1 year in this earthly planet. And when Brahma came back, he saw that all the gopas and all the calves were with Krishna as usual, as if Brahma had not stolen. Brahma was totally confused. I have stolen all these boys and calves. They are again playing with Krishna like this. So, did I steal? And he went, Krishna, Brahma went back and checked. The gopas were there and the gopas were here also. And as Brahma was watching, all the gopas and all the calves manifested as four-handed Vishnumurti forms. So Krishna manifested all his expansions because all of them were expansions of Krishna only. So they all became Vishnus. Suddenly Brahmaji has seen thousands of Vishnus around Krishna. Krishna is the source of all these Vishnus and Brahmaji got this magnificent darshan of Krishna. He has seen the grandeur and majesty and opulence of Krishna, vaibhavam of Krishna. So in that context, in the 50th shloka, Sukadeva Goswami says, Chandrika Vishadasmerehi Sarunapanga Vikshitehi Svakarthanam Iva Rajaha Sattva Bhyam Srishtu Palakaha Chandrika Vishadasmerehi. All these beautiful Vishnumurti forms were glancing at their devotees just like their glances were like moon rays, very cooling, very soothing. And these Vishnumurti forms were worshipped by so many devotees and all the personified opulences were also visible to Brahma and Brahma was thoroughly confused and he understood his own insignificant position in front of Krishna. And he understood the glories of Vrindavan, all the glories of Vrindavan were revealed to Brahma when he realized his own insignificance. Brahma felt like a glowworm in front of the sun. So he felt himself like a doll in front of the deity in the temple. So what is a doll in front of the deity? What is a glowworm which is emanating little amount of light in front of the sun? Krishna is like sun, Brahma was like a glowworm, firefly. So he understood the glories of Vrindavan. Yatra naisarga durvairaha sahasan ramrgadayaha mitrani vajitavasa drutaruttarshakadikam. So in this Vrindavan dham, animals who are naturally envious of each other also stay together in transcendental friendship. You can see in Vrindavan, even tigers and deer also stay together happily. And human beings, they are naturally envious of each other, but they happily stay together. There is no envy, there is no hunger, there is no thirst in Vrindavan. Vrindavan is the transcendental abode of Krishna. And Brahmaji fell at the feet of Krishna. Krishna was just a six-year-old boy and Brahma with his huge body, with his four heads shining like a golden mountain, he fell like a stick in front of Krishna. He fell like a golden rod that is called Dandavat. Right? Danda is stick. Dandavat means like a rod, like a golden rod. Krishna, Brahma fell at the feet of Krishna and Brahma was shedding tears from all his four pairs of eyes. He has four heads and each head has two eyes. So from his eight eyes, Brahma was profusely shedding tears out of regret, out of remorse, out of repentance. And Brahma was feeling so guilty and so ashamed and embarrassed and humiliated in front of Krishna. So, and that completes the 13th chapter. Now we'll enter the 14th chapter. Brahma starts offering prayers to Krishna. So Brahma says, the first prayer, very beautiful shloka that establishes Krishna's position as the Supreme Lord also. Brahma says, Naumidyate brahmapushe taditam varaya gunjavatam saparipichhalasan mukhaya vanyasraje kavalavetra vishana venu lakshmasriye mrudupade pashupangajaya. Naumidyate brahmapushe taditam varaya. Naumi, I offer my humble obeisances unto you, my dear Krishna. Idyate, you are worshipable. Tadit ambaraya, you are wearing a garment which is shining like lightning. Tadit ambaraya. Gunjavatamsa, Krishna also wears a gunjamala. Gunjamala is that red and black seeds that are available in forest. So, gunjavatamsa paripichala sanmukhaya. Oh Lord, your face is resplendent with a shining peacock feather. Paripicha lasan mukhaya. Vanyasraje, Krishna wears a forest flower garland, very beautiful garland. Vanyasraje kavala vetra vishana venu. Kavala, Krishna is having curd rice in his hand. Vetra, Krishna is holding a stick to control his calves. Vishana venu, and Krishna is also playing flute. Krishna doesn't have a sophisticated musical instrument like veena, violin, guitar, etc. He has a simple flute. What is flute? It is just a bamboo stick with some holes in it. Kavala vetra vishana vedu lakshmasriye mrudupade pasupangajaya. And this simple cowherd boy form of Krishna is the abode of all opulences, lakshmasriye mrudupade. And Krishna is imprinting the land of Vrindavan with his soft, tender lotus footprints. Krishna does not even wear shoes in Vrindavan. He walks barefoot. Once Mother Yashoda gave shoes to Krishna. Krishna, you are walking in forest. Your beautiful lotus feet would be hurt by some pebbles or thorns in the forest. Krishna says, my dear mother, I will wear these shoes, but you should make shoes for all my cows also. And there are 9 lakh cows. And each cow has four legs. How will Mother Yashoda make so many shoes? So Krishna started walking barefoot. So the Vrindavan Dham is so glorious that it is always imprinted with the lotus footprints of Krishna. Mrudupade, Pashupa Angajaya. And Krishna in Vrindavan is the son of cowherd man, that is Nanda Maharaj. So this establishes Krishna's superiority over all other forms and Nanda Maharaj's superiority over Vasudev also. So Krishna's form as Gopal, as cowherd boy in Vrindavan, is the topmost manifestation of the Absolute Truth. So that is established here. And later in another shloka, in another prayer, Brahmaji says, Jnane prayasamudapasya namanta eva jivanti sanmukharitam bhavadiya vartaha sthane sthitaha shruti gatam tanuvan manobher ye prayaso jita jito apyasita istrilokyam. In this shloka, Brahma says, Jnane prayasamudapasya namanta eva. Give up your speculative endeavors to cultivate philosophical knowledge. Namanta eva, just offer obeisances unto whom? Jivanti san mukharitam bhavadiya vartaha. Offer obeisances, offer respects unto those people who are constantly serving Krishna, worshipping Krishna with devotion and glorifying his activities. Right? Srutigatam tanuvan manobhir sthane sthitaha. You can remain in your position as a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyasi, whatever may be your Varna, whatever may be your ashram, you can remain there, but you should worship devotees, you should approach devotees and hear Krishna Katha from those devotees and learn how to perform devotional service from them with your body, mind and words. Then the unconquerable Lord Krishna will become conquerable to you. So we need to take shelter of devotees. We should give up our endeavors to cultivate speculative knowledge. We should take the guidance of pure devotees and perform bhakti unto Krishna. Then we can even captivate Krishna and control Krishna also. That's what Brahma says. Then on the other hand, there are some people. The fourth sloka, Brahmaji says, Shreyah shrutim bhakti mudasyate vibho klishyanti ye kevala bodha labdhaye తేషామసౌ క్లేశల ఏ వశిష్యతే నాన్యద్యథా స్థూల తుషావఘాతినాం. సో శ్రేయః శృతిం భక్తి ముదస్యతే విభో. ద సుప్రీం ఆస్పీషియస్నెస్ కెన్ బి కాస్డ్ ఓన్లీ బై పెర్ఫార్మింగ్ భక్తి అంటూ కృష్ణ. క్లిష్యంతియే కేవల బోధలబ్ధయే. దేర్ ఆర్ సమ్ పీపుల్ హూ స్టడీ స్క్రిప్చర్స్, హూ డూ వేదిక్ స్టడీ అండ్ హూ ఎనలైజ్ ద వేదిక్ స్టేట్మెంట్స్ అండ్ దెన్ బికమ్ స్కాలర్స్. సో కేవల బోధలబ్ధయే, దే థింక్ దట్ బై జస్ట్ బై వేదిక్ స్టడీ ఆర్ స్కాలర్షిప్ దే కెన్ బి లిబరేటెడ్. బట్ వితౌట్ డివోషన్ స్కాలర్షిప్ ఇస్ యూస్లెస్. ఆల్ ద ఫిలాసాఫికల్ అనాలిసిస్ అండ్ ద నాలెడ్జ్ అండ్ ద ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ దట్ యు హ్యావ్ డెవలప్డ్ వితౌట్ డివోషన్ టు ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్ ఈస్ యూస్లెస్. ఇట్స్ లైక్ జస్ట్ బై కల్టివేటింగ్ ఇంటెలెక్చువల్, జస్ట్ బై డూయింగ్ ఇంటెలెక్చువల్ అనాలిసిస్ వితౌట్ డివోషన్, ఇట్స్ లైక్ బీటింగ్ ఎంప్టీ హస్క్. సో నౌ దెర్ ఇస్ ప్యాడీ, ఆఫ్టర్ హార్వెస్టింగ్ ద రైస్ ప్లాంట్స్ యూ జస్ట్ బీట్ ద యునో ప్యాడీ దేర్ అండ్ యూ కెన్ గెట్ గ్రెయిన్స్. బట్ ఇఫ్ యూ జస్ట్ బీట్ గ్రాస్ యూ విల్ నాట్ గెట్ ఎనీథింగ్. స్థూల తుషావ ఘాతినాథ్. సో ఇఫ్ ఎంప్టీ ప్యాడీ, ఎంప్టీ యునో ప్యాడీ కెనాట్ గివ్ ఎనీ గ్రెయిన్స్. సో నాణ్యద్ యథా స్థూల తుషావ ఘాతినాథ్. దెన్ బ్రహ్మాజీ కంటిన్యూస్ టు ఆఫర్ హిస్ ప్రేయర్స్. హీ సేస్ దట్ మెనీ యోగీస్ అచీవ్డ్ భక్తి అన్ టు యూ బై ఆఫరింగ్ దేర్ ఎండీవర్స్ టు యూ, అండ్ నాన్ డివోటీస్ కెన్ ఎట్ ద మ్యాక్స్ రియలైజ్ యువర్ ఇంపర్సనల్ ఆస్పెక్ట్, ఇంపర్సనల్ బ్రహ్మన్, అండ్ వన్ కెనాట్ యాక్చువల్లీ అండర్స్టాండ్ యువర్ గ్లోరీస్. మై డియర్ లార్డ్, యువర్ గ్లోరీస్ ఆర్ లైక్ ఆర్ అన్లిమిటెడ్ అండ్ వన్ కెన్ కౌంట్ యాటమ్స్ ఆన్ ద ఎర్త్, పార్టికల్స్ ఆఫ్ స్నో అండ్ షైనింగ్ మాలిక్యూల్స్ దట్ ఆర్ కమింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ ద ల్యూమినరీస్ లైక్ సన్ అండ్ మూన్, బట్ వన్ కెనాట్ అండర్స్టాండ్ యువర్ గ్లోరీస్ మై డియర్ లార్డ్. దెన్ ఇన్ ద 8th శ్లోక బ్రహ్మాజీ సేస్, ఇట్స్ వెరీ బ్యూటిఫుల్ ప్రేయర్. తత్తేనుకంపాం సుసమీక్షమాణో భుంజాన ఏవాత్మ కృతం విపాకం హృద్వాగ్వపుర్భిర్విదధన్ నమస్తే జీవేతయో ముక్తిపదే సదాయ భాక్. తత్తేనుకంపాం సుసమీక్షమాణో, హి సేస్ దట్ మై డియర్ లార్డ్, ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ ఈవెన్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్సో అండర్గో సమ్ డిఫికల్టీస్, అండ్ డివోటీస్ వెన్ దే and encounter difficulties they consider that all these miseries are coming in my life only because of my own past misdeeds, and without Krishna's sanction nothing will happen. So devotee considers all the miseries in one's life as one's own past deeds. Bhunjana eva atmakritam vipakam, this is a result of my own past misdeed. So hridvag vapur bhir vidadhan namaste, they perform devotional service and offer obeisances to Krishna with their body, mind and hearts and words. And such people, jivetayo mukti padesa daya bhak, such people become the natural people who can inherit the property of liberation. So just like a son can inherit the property of father, such sincere devotees can inherit Krishna's mercy, can get Krishna's mercy. So to become objects of Krishna's grace, Krishna's mercy, we should perform bhakti unto Krishna, and we should also consider that whatever difficulties are coming in our life is only because of our own past deeds. We should not get into blame game, because of him I am suffering, because of her I am suffering. One should not get into that kind of blame game. Although one might externally address the situation as it is needed according to time, place and circumstances, one should also internally reconcile that whatever difficulties I am encountering is only because of my own past misdeeds. And Krishna has sanctioned this. So let me gratefully undergo this experience. And a devotee even considers that Krishna, I deserve more suffering, but Krishna, out of his kindness, he has minimized my suffering and he has given only a token amount of misery to me. So Brahmaji spoke all these things, and Brahma later said, Brahma even condemned his own impudence, and he said that, my dear Lord, please forgive my impudence. I have become very arrogant and I desire your compassion. I am a small creature in this one small universe. So Brahma says that, oh Supreme Lord Krishna, an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of your expansion Mahavishnu gives birth to millions of universes. From the bodily pores of Mahavishnu, millions of universes emanate, and in one of those universes, I am Brahma. And that Mahavishnu enters each universe as Garbhodakasaya Vishnu, and from the navel of Garbhodakasaya Vishnu, a lotus sprouts, and on that lotus I have taken birth. So, I am one Brahma in one of those universes. And how many universes are there? Millions of universes are there. If that is the case, where are you and where am I? You are the source of the source of the source of Mahavishnu. I am just an insignificant living entity within one universe of one of the universes that are emanating from Mahavishnu's body. Where are you and where am I? And how many universes come of Mahavishnu's body? Just like when there is sunshine, you open the window and the sunshine comes inside the room and you can see small molecules, small dust particles. So you cannot count them. Those many universes are coming out of Mahavishnu's body, and Brahma is Brahma within one small universe only. So Brahma considered his own insignificant position in front of Krishna. And Brahma even said, Narayanastvam nahi sarva dehinam atmasyadha atmasi adhisha akhila loka sakshi narayanongam narabhu jalayanat tachapi satyam natavaiva mayaya. He says, O Lord, O Krishna, you are manifesting yourself as a 6-year-old cowherd boy in front of me now, but you are the source of the source of the source of all Narayanas. All the three Vishnus, Garbhodakasaya Vishnu, Kshirodakasaya Vishnu and Karanodakasaya Vishnu, are your expansions only. You are the original Narayana. So, you have shown all the universes within your belly to Mother Yashoda. Yesterday we discussed this. In the previous episode we have discussed this. So, means entire universe is there within Krishna's belly, and Brahma is also there within that universe. So, when a small child who is within the womb of mother kicks the mother from within the womb, will the mother take offense? Certainly not. Similarly, Brahmaji is saying here that, my dear Lord, entire universe is there within your belly and I am there within the universe, means I am there inside your belly and I am here like a child. So, I am your child and I have done a mistake, so you should not take it seriously. Please forgive me, my dear Lord. So, Brahmaji is offering prayer to Krishna like this. So, Brahmaji offered so many other prayers, and Brahma, in the 29th shloka, he says, Athapi te deva padambujadvaya prasadalesha anugrihita evahi janati tattvam bhagavan mahimno nachanya eko pichiram vichinvan. He says, O Lord, one who gets a slight trace of your mercy can actually understand you. Without your mercy, no one can understand you, my dear Lord. So, a person who gets little mercy from you, from your divine grace, can only have some understanding of you. No one can understand you completely. Even Krishna does not understand his glories completely. So, Brahmaji says that. And finally, Brahmaji offers prayers to derive mercy of Vrajavasis. He says in the 30th shloka, Tadastume natha saburi bhago bhavetra vanyatra tuva tatascham tirascham yenahamekopi bhavajananam bhutvanisheve tava pada pallavam. He says, my dear Lord, I want eternal engagement in your devotional service, and I also want the mercy of Vrajavasis. And he glorifies the Vrajavasis. Ahoti dhanya Ahoti dhanya vrajago ramanya stanyamrutam pitamativa temuda yasam vibho vatsatarat majatmana yatripyate dhyapina chala madhara. He says, Aho ati dhanya vrajago ramanyaha. All the vrajavasis, especially the vatsalya gopis and even the cows of Vrindavan, they are extremely fortunate because Krishna appeared as their child and lovingly took milk from their bodies. How glorious are they? the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the creator, maintainer and destroyer of the entire cosmic manifestation, is accepting milk from this woman. How glorious must they be? Brahmaji is wondering at their glory. And he says, Aho bhagyam, aho bhagyam, nanda gopa vrajaukasam, yanmitram paramanandam, puranam brahmasanatanam. Aho bhagyam, what great fortune, what great fortune. Nanda gopa vrajaukasam, all the glorious vrajavasis are extremely fortunate. Why? Yanmitram paramanandam, puranam brahmasanatanam. That Supreme Absolute Truth Krishna has become their dear friend. So, to have the Supreme Lord as one's friend is not an ordinary privilege, and all the Vrajavasis had that privilege. And Brahmaji is very appreciative of the glorious position of Vrajavasis. He became so humble. He was so ashamed of his mistake. And he says, Tad bhori bhagyam iha janma, Tad bhori bhagyam iha janma kimapyatavyam, yad gokule pikatamanghri rajobhishekam, yad jivitam tu nikhilam bhagavan mukundah, tvadhyapi yatpa padarajah shruti mrugyameva. Here Brahma says, my dear Krishna, tvad bhori bhagyam iha janma kimapyatavyam, I consider it my greatest fortune to become a shrub or a blade of grass in Vrindavan. Even Uddhava also prayed like this. Brahma preferred to become even a small blade of grass also in Vrindavan, so that he can receive the dust from the gopis and from the Vrajavasis. Right? Yad gokulepi katamanghari rajobhishekam, I will be receiving abhishek of the dust from the lotus feet of all the Vrajavasis. I aspire for their dust. For that, I can even become a grass or a plant or a shrub in Vrindavan also. So, the person who wanted to test Krishna at one point, he is seeking, and the person who has stolen the gopas and calves of Krishna at one point, he is aspiring for the dust from those Vrajavasis only. So, he says that prapancham nishprapanchopi vidam vayasi bhutale prapanna janata nanda sandoham pratitam prabho. He says that he glorifies Krishna for coming to this earth in this in the form of a cowherd boy. Prapancham nishprapanchopi. So Brahma says, oh Lord, you are beyond this material universe. Nishprapanchopi. But still you have come into this prapancham, into this material world, just to reciprocate with the love and affection of your devotees. And he says, Jananta eva janantu kimbahukyaname prabho manasova pushovacho vaibhavam tava gocharam. He says, there could be so many people who made claim that they understand you, O Krishna. But as far as I am concerned, manasova pushovacho, with my body, with my mind, with my words, I cannot understand you. Vaibhavam tava gocharam, I cannot actually fathom your unlimited glories with all my intellectual capacity, with my four heads. So Brahma is the supreme being within this universe, and he says that I cannot understand Krishna. How can an ordinary conditioned soul claim that I know Krishna? I know him in and out. It's not possible. So Brahma offered so many prayers like this, and Krishna did not speak a single word. Definitely Krishna must have forgiven Brahma, but Brahma was so regretful, and Brahma offered this prayer that, oh Lord, I want to be in Vrindavan and receive the dust from the lotus feet of all Vrajavasis. So then Brahma understood that Krishna is not responding to my request. Maybe I am not qualified. Let me go back to my abode and continue my services for my own purification. So in this way Brahma offered obeisances to Krishna and went back to his abode on his swan carrier. So Krishna came back to the bank of Yamuna, and all the gopas were sitting there having their meals. And these gopas were stolen by Brahma at one point. Actually Brahma has stolen some illusory gopas created by Krishna. How can Brahma steal the original eternal residence of residents of Krishna, residents of Vrindavan. Actually, there are three sets of gopas. One is the original gopas, the associates of Krishna. Secondly, the illusory gopas created by Krishna that Brahmaji has stolen. Third is the expansion gopas, the gopas who are the expansions of Krishna. There are three sets of gopas as told by Acharyas. So now the original gopas were having their meals on the bank of Yamuna, and Krishna came there. So 1 year back, Krishna went to search for calves, and now Krishna is coming to the bank of the Yamuna, and all the gopas said, "Krishna, you went to search for calves, and you came back so fast. We have not even taken one morsel of food in your absence. You have come so fast. You are so quick. So come, join us, take meals." So all the gopas invited. So and the picnic continued. So that's how Krishna performs his enchanting leelas. And Brahma became so regretful. According to other references, Brahma went to a place called Antardvip in the Navadvipa Mandala, and he fervently prayed to Krishna. He worshipped Krishna in his beautiful golden form as Lord Gauranga. And Lord Gauranga manifested in front of Brahma, and Brahma became so morose. He said, "My dear Lord, I have become very diverted and puffed up of my own exalted position in this universe as the creator, and I have committed a great offense to you. So let me be deprived of this false prestige of being the creator of this universe." So then by the blessings of Lord Gauranga, that Brahma becomes Haridas Thakur. And Haridas Thakur is born in Mlecha community, which is not very respectable in the social circles. And Haridas Thakur was totally devoid of his prestige and high position as the creator of the universe. And the Supreme Lord, in his form as Lord Gauranga, made Haridas Thakur as Namacharya, the main acharya of the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. And the Supreme Lord came in the form of Lord Chaitanya to propagate the holy names of Krishna, and he made Haridas Thakur as Namacharya. Haridas Thakur is so humble, devoid of his prestige as Brahma. So that comes in another reference. Now coming back to this episode, then all the gopas and Krishna, they went, and the cows and the calves went back to the Vrindavan village. So after this, Parikshit Maharaj has heard this whole pastime, and he asked Sukadeva Goswami one question. "My dear Sukadeva Goswami, you said that when Krishna appeared in the form of all the gopas, all the Vrajavasis, their parents, they showed a lot of affection to their children who are actually Krishna. How can all the Vrajavasis have more affection for Krishna than their own children? Krishna is someone else's child. Krishna is the child of Yashoda and Nanda. How can the Vrajavasis show so much of affection towards Krishna more than their own children also?" So Sukadeva Goswami responded, saying that, "My dear Parikshit Maharaj, in this world, everybody loves one's own self the most. And that dearness to one's own self will manifest as dearness to one's body, bodily possessions, and bodily relatives. So one may love one's body because of one's own dearness to one's own self. One will love one's body, and because his relatives or parents or children, they are connected to this body, they love their families. And because they are born in certain communities, they love their communities. Because they are born in certain country, they love their country. So like that, this favoritism towards one's own family or community or nation is extended sense gratification. Because one loves one's own self the most, that love is manifested as dearness to all these external objects and people. So why a person loves one's own self the most? Because one's own self is a part and parcel of Krishna. So Krishna is the soul of all souls. Why one's own self is attractive to the soul? Because that soul is a fragmental part of Krishna, is an amsha of Krishna. Atmanam akhilatmanam. Krishna is supremely attractive, and his part and parcels, his fragmental parts, amshas, the souls, they are also attractive. If something or someone is attractive to us, it's because of their connection with Krishna. So nothing can attract our attention if it is not connected to Krishna. So the original attraction is towards Krishna. Our attraction towards Krishna is manifested as our attraction towards our own selves in the conditioned state. And our attraction towards our own self is manifested as our attachment to the body, bodily relatives and all the bodily possessions. So that is the ultimately everybody loves Krishna the most. And in the conditioned state, that love for Krishna is diverted towards one's own self and other things. So in the purest state of this soul, in our pure consciousness, we love Krishna more than anyone else and anything else and more than our own selves. And Vrajavasis are in the purest state of consciousness. So they naturally love Krishna more than anyone else and more than their own selves. So that is the nature of Vrindavan. Vrindavan is filled with living beings, living entities who have developed their pure Krishna consciousness and they love only Krishna the most and they don't love even themselves as much as they love Krishna. That's the nature of Vrindavan. So anybody who hears this pastime of Aghasura Vadha and the prayers of Lord Brahma, they will definitely fulfill all their spiritual desires. With this Phalashruti, Sukadeva Goswami concludes this Brahma Vimohana Leela. Thank you all very much. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya, Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Hare Krishna.